Father, again, we come before you and ask for your guidance and your leading in this message today, that it might be edifying to the saints of God that are in Randolph County and the area. We pray, Father, for those that are not saved, that are listening, that you might work in their hearts to see the glorious future that they may have if they are saved and know him in a real way. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Yesterday in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 8, we were looking at the crown of righteousness, the victor's crown. It's laid up for all those that love the appearing of Christ, which is connected with the very name of the crown of righteousness. Those that are looking for his appearing, and not only looking for it, but the love of his coming is in their hearts because they are not ashamed, because they are walking righteously for him. That is the crown that Paul is speaking of. And yet now we'd like to look today at the other four crowns spoken of in the New Testament for those believers that go on and are able to cast those very crowns at the feet of the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'd like to say here, we're going to be reading in connection with the incorruptible crown. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Notice here in verse 26. I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, that is, to be not approved. So here in connection with the Christian race, for those that are saved, here's one of the crowns in the race that we have to serve him. And note very clearly that this is only applying to those that are saved. You're not in a race until after you're saved. If you know not Christ as your Lord and Savior, we must quote to you the verse that says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. You cannot earn salvation. It's for by grace you're saved through faith. But yet, after you're saved, then we have the glorious future of being in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be away from not only the penalty and power of sin, but at that point we'll be in his presence, and we'll be away from the very presence of sin. And there'll be a time when we that are believers will be judged in a different judgment from the lost people. But we'll be judged, and if we're counted faithful in these different areas, the Lord will give us these crowns, and the scripture says in Revelation 4 that we'll cast them at the feet of the one that is worthy. So we'll be able to praise him in a greater way, in a tremendous way, when we cast those crowns at the feet of the Lord. Would it not be embarrassing not to have any crowns to throw at his feet? You know, we see here it speaks in Corinthians also about some that would be saved as by fire. Their soul would be saved, but there would be very little to show for their walk as a believer if all their things done was burned up as far as their works are concerned as a believer. Again, not concerning the soul. So we see here the crown in front of us today is the incorruptible crown. You know, in the Word of God, it speaks about how salvation before us is incorruptible. It's reserved in heaven. We see how that being born again is by incorruptible seed. So we think of something that is dependable when we think of something that is incorruptible. But the context here is speaking with Paul here at the end of 1 Corinthians 9 is speaking of self-control or temperance. He says in verse 26, but I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. He's not as a, you might say by illustration of a boxer, he's not out there just hitting at the wind. He's got a goal, and he's keeping himself, spiritually speaking, he's keeping himself in line with what he needs to do to finish the race properly. He is, one, exercising self-control or temperance. You know, the scripture would tell us also back there in the book of Proverbs, if you were to turn over there to chapter 25, we could pick up in verse 28, the last verse of the chapter. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So here, speaking of temperance, self-controlled, a self-controlled attitude. You know, there's many things that a Christian can do as a believer that in themselves may not be necessarily wrong, but if you're going to be faithful and to put your life for Christ first, there are things that can hinder your walk and that would not be wise as far as being self-controlled. Again, an illustration from a boxer or a wrestler. I read a quote from a brother one time saying this. He spoke of a wrestler that asked his coach, well, coach, can I go out and do this and do that and hang out with the boys, you see, and do all these things that they want to do and still be a good wrestler? Still be a wrestler, he said. Well, the coach replied and said, well, sure, you can go out and do those things, but you won't win. You can do these things and be a wrestler, yes, but you're not going to be the victor. You see the point? To be the victor, to be one of the great victors in the walk as a Christian, as Paul was speaking of there in 2 Timothy 4, that he was already being poured out and that he was ready for his departure, to finish the race well instead of just finishing the race, to finish the race well, you need self-control. So also we see, if you will, turn to 1 Thessalonians, as we'd like to cover these different crowns that are in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's look there at the end of the chapter, verse 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Here he's speaking of individuals as being a great crown. And perhaps the Lord would account a literal crown on behalf of these, I don't know. But here Paul is asking the question, for what is our hope and our joy and our crown of rejoicing? So here is the crown of rejoicing, and he answers it. Speaking to these believers at Thessalonica, are not even you? He's speaking of people being a great crown. And you say, well, this is speaking of being with them in the presence of the Lord at his coming. And he says in verse 20, yes, you are our glory and joy. Beloved, if you lead someone to Christ, and then you have that great love for them, and you're looking to disciple them along. Oh, what greater joy than to see them grow in the things of Christ. The crown of righteousness. Also, you could turn to Philippians 4:1, but for time's sake, let's just bring into context, what is the crown of rejoicing, I should say. The crown of rejoicing. We see there's joy in heaven every time a soul repents, the scripture says. So we see soul winning may be the bottom line here for a crown. So we see the great need to win souls for Christ and the crown that would be laid up. And the crown itself would be to see these people in the presence of the Lord. Now also turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, and the crown of glory. This here is speaking specifically of those that are spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders. Speaking of, in verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, says Peter. And he goes on, and he speaks of how they're to feed the flock of God that are among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to them. So there he speaks a little bit about what a faithful shepherd, these shepherds will do. God's under-shepherds, if you will, for he is the chief shepherd and bishop of our soul. But here it says in verse 4, speaking about these shepherds, these faithful shepherds of the Lord's people, of God's heritage, he says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So for those, not just those that give themselves a title or those that are calling themselves a shepherd or what have you, but it's for those that are faithful according to the judgment of our Lord. He is the fair, holy, and righteous judge. And would it not be a tremendous thing to be a shepherd of God's people? I'm speaking to individuals out there now. To be one of the faithful shepherds of God's people and to one day hear from the Lord, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," and to receive a victor's crown of glory that fadeth not away. One of the glorious crowns that we may be able to cast at the feet of the Lord. And also, finally, let's look at James chapter 1, and there we can pick up our fifth of these five crowns. Chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." So here we see the crown of life. Here it's speaking in connection of those that endure temptation. They've been tried and approved. Again, I quote another brother that has said before, as it speaks in Hebrews 12 about those that are truly sons of God, that you'll be chastened. It's discipline, child training, so that you'll be brought closer to the Lord. Not because he's an angry God up there looking just to discipline someone for the sake of discipline, but it's because he wants to bring you closer to himself. Just like in Proverbs, the reason for discipline upon our children, he tells us, is so we might see them grow up in a godly manner, to bring them closer to ourselves. Yet the Lord wants us, his children, to be closer to himself. So here we see the crown of life James is speaking of, and I quote another brother, as I mentioned, "These trials will make us either a bitter Christian or a better Christian." Which one are you? Do these things that come in your life as a Christian, do you come out to be closer to him? Not bitter, but better in the sense of being closer to the Lord. What a challenge. What a challenge. We'll just close today as we've thought about these five crowns yesterday and today that the Lord has laid up for those faithful Christians, that we might, in Revelation 4, as it says, cast those crowns at the feet of the one who is worthy of all praise, honor, and worship. We trust that this has been encouragement to you. Join us tomorrow, 1 o'clock, for the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.